Something's been ringing with me ever since our last class. And it's something that Jacob said was reading in the book, and it says, surely the law was in this place and I didn't know it. It's been a calming agent for me. It's been a clarifying my mind agent. I've been repeating I am one with God over and over again. But I've also reminded myself when my mind can be thinking other ways than what God intended, fearful, worry, or stressed out or whatever, I remind myself that surely God is in this place and I don't know it. You get it? Any time that my mind can go somewhere else other than the peace of God, that's when I don't know that God is in this place. I'm going to say God is in this place. And so one of the things that I want to stress, and I always want to stress, and I want to make sure that it ends up being the end subject and the final thing, is that we are the church. We are Christ. And that was Jesus' intention for the whole thing. If we go through history, Jesus didn't build any buildings. He never built a temple. The only thing he talked about the temple was tearing it down. You tear down this temple. You hear him refer, if you pay attention to him really well, you hear him refer, there'll be a lot of metaphors, a lot of similes, but he's talking about his own life, which in turn means he's talking about your life. But surely God can be in this place and I do not know it. Especially if I'm looking for it somewhere else. You ever heard those statements? I like to say it a lot. Looking for love in all the wrong places. You're looking for something to happen somewhere, and it's going to happen here. Not it's going to happen. It is happening now. I'll say it's happening now. See, church is going on right now. Church was going on before we got here. Church is going on before Sunday because you was going on. Wasn't you going on? Yeah, church is going on. But surely the Lord can be in this place and I not know it because I think I'm Montreal. You get it? So I've assumed this idea. This idea. I'm still talking about church now. Y'all want you to keep up with me. I've assumed this idea of who I've been told I am. What it's supposed to look like, right? How it's supposed to sound. You know, I would catch myself sometimes. You know, I've been preaching for a long time. I realized the other day I've been preaching for a while now. I'm a young man, but I've been preaching since I was about 17, so it's been about 20 years now. And I can remember my first message, and I can remember preaching, opening up for service, different things. And there were certain things that you would pick up, certain colloquial, certain phrases, you know, amen, hallelujah, Father God. I would say Father God every time I prayed. I mean, there's certain things you pick up just out of habit or out of motion, out of going through the same motions. And those things are not necessarily bad, right? They're not bad things, but they can be very incomplete if you think it's in that. The Bible talks about form and fashion. There's also scripture talking about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You get it? So you can go through what looks like to be church but not be the church. Yes, you can go through all the steps. You can wear the clothes. You can say the hallelujahs. You ever said amen, hallelujah, and you didn't know what they said? Amen. In service? Come on, all of us done it. You know when you come in service, you know, pastor look at you, you like, but you don't know nothing he said before that. You could have been daydreaming. You was at the house in your mind. Brother Hagin used to say that a lot. He said, no, don't park your bodies here and take your mind down the street. Right? But we've done, anybody ever done it before? I've done it before. We said, but I know my mind and my body is so far in the motion that I know when everybody's lift their hand, you know what I'm saying? They get to saying amen, I say amen. They stand up, I'm going to stand up. I don't even know what we stand up for. It didn't even hit me that hard, but we all up. You get what I'm saying? And we can go through the motions and never be all the power that we are. Having a form of godliness, you're made in the image of God. Amen. Not just in the image, but with the mind, with the intellect, with the character, with the functioning, with the love, everything that God is, that's you. Say, that's me. Say, everything that God is me. I'm going to say it again. Everything that God is me. But I can deny that by taking on some other thoughts. This is, once again, this is why we have this class called Church Unusual. It shouldn't have to be that. But it's taking a usual step because Romans talk about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's more conformation in the church than almost anywhere else. We've taken on society's idea of the American dream or what it is like to be right, and then start believing God for that. Are you understand what I'm saying? When God has a plan that's much bigger, much wider, and much wiser than the one that we're living by. And his plan is you. His plan is not written somewhere just for you to read. You are the plan. Say, I am the plan. See, we have to go from going to a building to being the building. We got to go from going to the temple to being the temple. It's okay to go to the temple. Because when I go to the temple, what should be happening is the temple. Now, you're really the temple. Right? This really represents who you really are. You get it? The two or three are gathered in my name. There's congregation on the inside of you. You and God and the Holy Ghost all in there. You're getting the Christ all in there, congregating, having service. Service, passing out. You get it? But if we go to a habitation and don't realize that we are the habitation, we're missing the power. And the power is there the whole time. It's always been there. But if you break it down to man's, Jesus said in Matthew 16, y'all go over there real quick. We've been reading this since we began this class, and it'd be one of our main places because it's one of the only times Jesus even said the word church. But right after this, he begins to tell them what's going to happen and how he's going to be crucified and telling them what church really looks like. It really looks like giving your life. It don't look like coming to get what you need. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I know I was reading in the book, and I'm reading, it's on page, I think it's page three I was on, and it says, we've been using the temple to meet our needs. Mm-hmm. We've been so needy. But now the scripture says, but my God shall what? Supply what? Yeah. Matthew 6 talking about take no thought for tomorrow, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, all that stuff. He said, for I know that you have need of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right standing, your right oneness with the Father. And all these things that you think you need will be added. So it's not for you to worry about your needs. But church has been a need-beaten meeting. Right? We've been a charitable organization. Come on, y'all know it. And we've been, let's feed the hungry, right? And we should. Jesus told us to do that, right? Let's feed the poor, let's, right? And we've been so caught up with doing that we haven't been enabling the hungry. We haven't been enabling the poor, right? I'll put clothes on your back, but then I also need to duplicate the Christ in me in you so that you don't need nobody to put clothes on your back again. Are you understanding me? Now, we lack that majorly in church. We like the giveaways and the give outs and the handouts, and it makes us feel good about our Christianity. Can we tell the truth about it? It makes us feel good about what we're doing. We pat ourselves on the back a little bit, and we feel like we're doing the work of the Lord. Well, the work is unfinished if you don't duplicate yourself. Are y'all listening to me? The work is undone if now watch this. This is great. This is Jesus. This is what church is. If you as the church should multiply the church. The numbers added to the church daily, right? Talking about the church was added to daily, right? It's talking about people. It wasn't talking about a building. It wasn't talking about an organization. We've done that as of recent. But it's really talking about the mindset, the mentality, the culture, the understanding of being like Christ. Understanding me? If we do not duplicate ourselves, then you need to keep coming back to me for what you need. Then that mindset, this is what I'm going to explain where we are. Then that mindset goes to a place now where you always need a Savior. You know why we worship Jesus? I know you think you know why we worship Jesus. Jesus never told y'all to worship him. Y'all go look at y'all Bible. I know y'all feel like you can go look at your scripture. Y'all watching online, you can go look at your scripture. He didn't say, worship me. Nope, he didn't do it. He didn't come running telling Jesus, good master, ain't nobody good but God. That's the personality of the man. He didn't ask for you to be screaming his name out every other time. Listen to me well. But we do this partly out of training, partly out of misunderstanding, because everybody loves a Savior. Right? Everybody wants to be delivered. And sometimes you have to be delivered. But true deliverance is making you a deliverer. If I deliver you, but I don't give you the tools to be a deliverer, then I've handicapped you. Amen. I mean, most church now is like that. You need me to get a word from the Lord. The old way that was, when, and even some denominations right now with the priests, they have to have confessions right now, because you have to go through them to get to God. This is the Old Testament. This is the old holies of holies. You couldn't hear nothing. Nobody else was hearing nothing but Moses. Moses had to hear from God for the whole crew, because they didn't know that they were one with the Father. But here's Jesus, and when Jesus said, "It is finished," he said, the ground shook, earthquake, the ground started opening, the dead people started getting up out of the grave, boy. That's something. And he said the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. That means he opened it up. He opened it up to show you that this is who you really are. You're one with a loving Father that loves you. And this is your true character. It may come in different sizes and bottles and tones and dispensations and different things of that nature, but it's still God. It's all God. Surely God is in this place, and maybe I don't know it. And so many times we go back to the sanctuary, and we go back to getting our needs met at the church, and we use the temple as a place for a weary traveler. And come on in, weary traveler. Come on in. I got some water for you, but I got more than water. I got some money for you, but silver and gold, I got more than that. Remember Peter said that to him? I have more to offer you. I have an identity to show you that you are. So it's not meant to just continue to use to get your needs met. When I realize that my needs are already met, say it. Come on, say it again. Come on, say it again.
My needs are already met.
Why? Because I am one with God. Say it. My needs are already met. Because I am one with God. Now remember, now we're not blaspheming. We're not talking out of our heads, because this is what Jesus Christ prayed for. John 17, he said, I pray that they be one as we are one. So why would I not pursue my oneness with the Father if that's what Jesus, my Christ, my Lord, my Savior, was expecting for me? There's a place in the scripture, Jesus says, you're going to go to the Father and you're going to ask. You're going to talk to him. And don't bring it to me, because I'm not going to do nothing for you. He says it just like that. He says, I'm not, and at that time, I'm not doing nothing for you. You're going to have to ask in my name. Right? In my name, in my character, in everything that I stand for. The same way that I stand, you stand. Right? You're going to have to ask that way. And then the Father's going to do it for you, through you. You get it? So we've got to, I'm consistently talking about this, because I don't want us to, it is very easy in singing, they have what you call flat notes and sharp notes. A sharp note is a little bit higher than the actual note. You ain't hitting the nail on the head. A flat note is a little bit under the note. Like, it almost sounds right. To the untrained ear, it might sound right, but if you put it together with the harmony, it'll stick out like a sore thumb. But it ain't that you're hitting the note, but you kind of bending the note. You ain't hitting it head on. You ever hit a nail? Anybody ever use a hammer and a nail? It's like hitting the nail, but not hitting it. My uncle used to show me how to hit nails, and he said, you used to trip me out, because I'll be up there, you know, nailing in. And my Uncle Roy, he hit that thing. He grabbed it by the end of the hammer. And the way he slung, he go, bam, the nail go in one time. I said, man, come on, man. How you doing? He done drove in 20 nails. I'm still on that one. On a 20th tap, right? Because there's a way to hit it right on the head and drive it all the way in. It'll go all the way to the inside. Are y'all listening to me? I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. So now you don't want to live your Christian life or your church life or your religious life hitting the nail on the side. Amen. Amen. And never hitting it dead end to where it hits on the inside. Yeah. Truth is, it's already who you are. It is already who you are. I'm about to say, it is already who you am. It's you. I'm one with God. Say it.
I am one with God.
Say, I am the church.
And I am one with God.
I am God's will. Listen
to
me. You are God's will. You are God's will. What does this do? What does this do? What does this do? What does this concept do? What does this concept do for church? Ephesians 4, quick. And we'll go here, because I think that being one with the Father gives clarity and progress for everything it was supposed to be. Now, and I don't have time to read. We read, I do have time. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, is Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness, sound like Jesus right there, long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through and in you all. It was above, through, and in. Now, where's the incompletion? Because if you think he's above, this is where the church has been massively. We lift our hands. Come on, y'all know the first place you look up to is where? When you say, come on, talk to the Lord. You, like he up there. Come on. But is he omnipresent or not? Now, we can't pick and choose which ones we want. And we can't believe one, not believe the other. Like, you can't pick and choose one you want and then start negating them. So now, is he omnipresent or not? Is he? So then he's everywhere. He's above me. He's through me. And he's in me. Now, the incompleteness comes when we think that he's just above. And now you're looking to the hills for somebody to come be your deliverer. When I put deliverance on the inside of you. We look, who the one? Who gonna be the deliverer? And you looking for the one and you ain't never look in the mirror. You the one they've been looking for. We the ones they looking for. They the ones they looking for. They just don't know it. And how they gonna know unless we tell them? I love my neighbor like I love myself. That means the same way that I love myself, I love my neighbor, right? I do for my neighbor the same thing at the same time that I do for myself, right? But how is it can I do that if I don't do it for myself? So if I don't know that I am, how can I tell them that they are? You get it? And so now, you know the old statement. This old statement says, hurt people, hurt people. You ever heard that before? Yeah. So uninformed people keep other people uninformed. Ignorant people make people ignorant. And you begin to pass on. It's like a virus. Whatever it is, you got a cold, don't sneeze on me. Don't bring it over here, but you're gonna make me catch what you got. So whatever you got, that's what I'm catching. But we gotta get ourselves together and know what we got. Right? Because if we're not fully confident in our oneness with the Father, there'll never be deliverance for a world. Because that's the only thing. That's the only deliverance. And there's several different problems going on in the world and different things that we think need to happen, but all those are in the one. I can name pop, 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 all these different issues, problems, and I can name all these subject lines that we have, these curriculums and these subjects and these books that we've written and all these things for different problems, and it's a million and one on which book the one? Come on, y'all know. Sometimes we got to tell the truth. Can we tell the truth sometimes? Yes, sometimes we got to tell the truth. I don't know which book to read. Then I done read six of them. I still ain't seeing nothing. Right? Because it's all going back to the one. It's going back to the identity. It's going back to the core foundation of what Jesus was telling you about you. This is church. A called out one by a name to carry a name. Called out, I'm going to say it again. I gave you the definition before, but it's called out from an origin. They called out from the original. You were extracted from the Spirit of God. Wow. You were extracted from the Spirit of God, and then God took you and made another him. But you got to believe this. Because surely God can be in this place and you not know it. Every time we doubt, every time we fear, every time we're confused, every time we wonder, every time, yeah, surely God is in this place and I do not know it. So I'm learning something now. We're going to talk about it in a second. One God and Father of all is above all and through all and in you all. But into every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Right? You got to slow down and read that. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, what does that mean? we're given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What's the measure of the gift of Christ? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about what that means, the measure of the gift? You know, we read this stuff fast, don't we? Y'all done read this before, right? We read it fast, and then we get to the part where we're going to get to verse 11. We're talking about, you know, the 5-4 ministry gifts, right? Right? But you got to slow down and realize what context. But in every one of us is given grace according. So is you're giving this according to this. So you're giving this according to a measurement of this. What do you mean a measurement? Well, how's that measure up in you? How much of you are measured up as Christ? How much of your mind can you say, can you if you measure, you pour it in a measuring cup and it'll be all Christ? Are y'all with me? So because that grace is going to be given to you according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, Christ has been given to you, but are you measuring up to the gift? Later on, he's going to ask you that in a minute, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's talking about a measuring up. Okay. So you slow down and read it. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. But gifts, all of you have gifts, right? Yeah. But your gift don't matter if you don't know you got it. True or not true? I could put $1 million in your bank account right now, but you will live tomorrow like you ain't got it. How? If you don't know. If you don't know, if you don't check your account, if you don't know, and don't nobody tell you, then you'll live your entire life like you don't have nothing when you got it all. You'll live your entire situation. We'll go through the motions. We'll go on to glory, like we talked about, right? And we live the whole thing, and then, you know, somebody said, what's your greatest fear? They asked me today. So I said, I ain't got no greatest fear, but if, you know, the thing that I really don't want to happen is to get the glory and the Lord tell me I didn't take hold of some stuff that he had for me because I was trying to follow some regiment that somebody else made. I was afraid to stand out a little bit. I was afraid to have the audacity to say I'm one with God. If there is a thing, I'll be like, no, I don't want that to happen. You know, I don't think you're gonna send me that. You know, get the part from me, I never knew you. I don't know if you're gonna, but and that's bad too, right? But I don't even want to miss nothing. Why would I want to miss something? Get gifts unto men, not even send it. But also, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. This question. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might what? Fill all things. That means this process that Jesus went through was for the filling. It was the whole point of it for you to know that you were full. Right? I know he dragged us out the pit and he saved us from our own vices. And he saved us from our addictions and our own raggedy ways and different families. I know he pulled us out from somewhere, but then when he pulled it out, he pointed to you and said, now listen, I know you were only over there because you didn't know what was in you. And nobody told you that it was in you. I found out something about prophecy the other day, and it really hit me hard the other day. This will be my first time saying this, but a lot of times we learn that prophecy should confirm something that you already know, right? We talk about that. But I also believe that prophecy should confirm who you are. So I prophesy to you, and I tell you something that the Lord has told me about you. Mm-hmm. God bless that, right? But I should finish that off with, you know you could have heard that for yourself, right? You ain't never heard that before in your life, have you? You're probably like prophecy said, you could have heard this for yourself, but you just didn't know that you were connected like that. Because if I do not tell you that, then you need to keep coming to me. And this is rampant in the church. Titles, offices, people. We fight. I was talking to somebody today and said, we often fight to try to secure our importance in this world. So we do everything for it, right? We run after and do everything for it. Then we see our example, who is Jesus, who doesn't run after anything. I don't want none of your titles. I don't want, no, that's cool. I'm cool. No, don't go tell nobody. Can I come? No, don't come in. Just go tell people what God did for you. And see, the humility, over in Philippians talked about it, he said, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death of the cross. Wherefore he's been given a name. Now, we thought it was just for the cross, but no, he humbled himself. He didn't make any reputation. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal one with God. Say, I am one with God. You're not stealing nothing when you say God is inexhaustible. So you saying I'm one with God, don't take nothing from him. You're not robbing anybody. You ain't taking nothing from me and nothing from nobody else. Say, I am one with God. Now, that don't mean because I said I'm one with God, you ain't one with God. Right. Most churches like that, though. Right. The Reverend got it. Come on, y'all been in church for a little while, so y'all know how it goes. There's a prophecy to you. I say, you know, this is the Lord telling me. And it's a good thing, and we need this. But you know, you could have heard it on your own. You just didn't know it. God was telling you the same thing, but you didn't. You somewhere along the line, you didn't think either you was worthy or you didn't think you was one with him. And so he couldn't deliver the message. So he used me to deliver the message to you. But then I got to finish it off by telling you, you too. Prophesy to yourself. Are you understanding me? So watch. Give us a minute. Might fill all things. Verse 11, go read. Ready, read. No, you wasn't ready. I'll tell you again. Ready, read. Okay, he gave them to him, right? Now, most people thought those were the gifts, right? Those are gifts, but those are not the gifts that he said that fill all things. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all evangelists? No. Everybody's not that. Everybody got to play their role. But he said he's going to fill all things. He gave gifts to how many men? All men. So now we got to see that these are not those that he was talking about. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yes,
right? They are gifts to us. Thank God for that, right? But if we don't realize that we have gifts, we cannot respond or correspond to the gifts properly. I'm going to teach you something. Teach something. I'm going to teach myself while we're talking. Listen to me. Because I hear it while we're talking about it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. God bless all that. What for? What for? What were they for? For the perfecting, the maturing, the purpose filling of the saints. The work of the ministry, because you can't pass out nothing that you ain't. Right? Oh, you can pass out something and they ain't going to be nothing either. Y'all get what I'm saying? I feel sorry for a lot of people listening to a lot of preachers. No disrespect, but all disrespect. I feel sorry for some people listening to some people because they're spewing their ignorance. I don't listen to much Christian television. I don't watch too much Christian television because I'm going to find myself being critical. I don't listen to much Christian radio because I just found myself listening to it a couple of days ago. Today, yesterday, I said, oh, my God, people don't be knowing what they're talking about. Ain't got people following them. They're going through the church as usual. Nobody's telling, nobody's preaching identity, a being, a amness. It's all Jesus preached. I want y'all to know that, right? Y'all do know that, right? Go back and read them red words. That's all he preached. Amness. Work of the ministry, right, is working to pass it out. For the edifying or building up, edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ. It's not a building, it's not a congregation, it's you. It's building up your body because you are the body of Christ. Say, I am the body of Christ. Listen, you're hosting Christ right now. You're the carrier of Christ. Verse 13, wow, affecting the saints, working the ministry, edifying the body. Verse 13, now how long should we do this? How long, what is this? What is all this for? Till means like until, right? So until, so this goes on until we, the same we that's in our Father, we. How many of us? All. Come doesn't mean come from a distance. It does mean come from one place to another. It doesn't mean that, but it also means come into view, come into light. we come into light in the unity of the faith. Right? I like it, like that it says the faith, not the unity of faith, but it specifies the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of. Doesn't say Jesus right there. It said the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, these things were written, these were letters, and they were written in certain times, in certain ways, and sometimes people rewrote them, or they would dictate what somebody was saying. And I know when I say a word, I know if I say Montreal, you know to put a capital M at the beginning of my name, because that's what we do, that's basic English. But I know if I'm saying a word like son or man or then you don't have to capitalize that word. So sometimes they capitalize them there, they're not really sure how they capitalize them or how they figure they're supposed to capitalize them. You know, men sometimes put their stuff in. Let's be honest. But the knowledge of the Son of God. So it means till you come unto the knowledge of being Son of God. And you know what Son of God means, right? Son of God means you equal with God. You equal with the Father. Now people get afraid of that. You know, even when we talk about right now, it's a little like, because we weren't raised that way, right? But the reason you're afraid because you still built your mind off of all-powerful and submission and not oneness. We built our understanding of life off of separation. We built it that way. So now we think when I say I am one with God, we're saying we are God. It's not what we're saying. We're one with God. And everything that comes along with him. You know the ultimate way to be humility, to be humble? One with God. Because if you have all power, you ain't got nothing to prove. You realize, like, the only time you be biggity or high-minded is when you're trying to show somebody something. God is the ultimate, he's ultimate humility. Because I have nothing to prove to y'all. And the scripture, he's God all alone. You get it? With or without you realizing you one with him. Ultimate humility. To the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the watch his measurement. We're talking about the measure. Remember the measure of the gift of Christ? What verse that was? The measure, verse 7. But everyone's given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Y'all saw that, right? Right? So now we're talking about this measure again. Unto a perfect man, and perfect again, because the perfecting of the saints. That means a mature man, a full of purpose man, a fully grown man, right? Unto the measure. Okay, we got measure of the stature. You know what a stature is, right? Come on, y'all know. Y'all look at me. Y'all know what stature is, right? The build, the frame, like the stature of the fullness of who? Christ. So this is the purpose. This is the purpose of our apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But we can't even correlate with our apostle. Properly until we know we got something. You can't even be connected properly until you know that you got something. Amen. What you connecting with if you ain't got nothing? Listen to what I'm saying. We can't even correlate to, I'm learning this tonight, that we can't even correlate properly or benefit properly until we know that we got something. Now, I know this about Apostle, our Apostle, Apostle Thomas. I know this about him. And let me just speak from what I know. I know that there are a lot of things and a lot of places that he wants to go and a lot of things that he wants to say and a lot of places that he wants to take us that he can't because we need him. I literally sat in service one time and I heard him and I said, uh-oh, because he's about to hit something. I be feeling like I got the inside route, not because I be at the house and like that, but I'm looking at Jesus. I don't care about all the other stuff other people care about. So I be hearing it before you hear it. I'm hearing, he thinking about it, I'm hearing it. You too, right? You too, the mind of Christ, you too. But we're so needy, and we think it's a part of church. We think we come to get our needs met. No, your needs are already met. Say, my needs have already been met. Why? Because I'm one with God. So we got to finish it off. It's not just because the Bible said it. Because the Bible said a lot of stuff that you ain't. in what you know what I'm saying? See, a lot of stuff that you ain't manifesting. We ain't manifesting. So it just ain't because the word said. It's got to be. And I've seen, I saw him going to a place, and I said, oh, here we go. And then he stopped. He said, nah, I ain't going to say that one. And go to something else. Because we're here trying to get our needs met. We want a blessing. Shower down your grace on me. We want the presence of God to come in the room, but it came in when you came in. And so we hinder each other. Not just pew to pulpit. I mean us. Side by side. We hinder each other and hold each other back by not knowing who we are. And so we don't correlate. We don't connect well. We bump heads a lot. This is the epitome of racism. This is the epitome of classism. Gender issues. It's because we don't know that we are one with the Father and we are also one with each other. So now, if I don't go back to chapter 4 and go and realize that he gave gifts, he's above all and in all and through us all. So if I know he's in me already, then I know that I don't have to come to get a double portion.
Amen. All right.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
If I know that the gift of God is already in me, then when I see what is happening is you're coming, what God does is connect you with somebody that's more aware of their oneness than you are. Mm-hmm. And when you connect with somebody that's more aware of their oneness than you are, your oneness rises because they begin to tell you, hey, you too, you one with the Father. You understand it? This is what we call, you're passing on the anointing like that, right? The idea, right? Right? Yeah, this is what this is. But you are already blessed. Say, I am blessed.
I am.
Come on, say, I am the blessing.
I am the blessing.
So when I realize this, and when I want to minister this to congregations because we pick up speed in whatever God's plan is. Because we're no longer sitting here mending ourselves. We take time. We walk in. If everybody, we all walk in, all our shoes untied. Well, it's going to take us a while before we can start running. Because we all got to tie our own shoes. How are we going to tie somebody else's shoes? And we do it, though. We be like, hey, y'all shoes untied. Both eyes be wide open, loose. All the tongue of our shoes out, right? Our foot ain't even in the shoe. Right? So now we come. A simple thing is tying your shoe. Mm-hmm. Think about it for a minute. A simple thing is tying your shoe. Something as simple as tying your shoe. And we're getting those things fixed on a weekly basis. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Something simple as knowing I'm one with God. Say it, I'm one with God. Something as simple as saying that I am the church. Say it.
I am the church.
It's not hard to understand, is it? It can be hard to comprehend sometimes because we've been taught other things so long. So now my pastor and my apostle and anybody that's walking in the prophetic office or the evangelical office or the teachers, it's harder. It takes a longer time to make progress because we're coming trying to receive something instead of understanding that I already have it and they're only explaining to me what I have. Amen. I'll prove it to you. Listen, you don't take my word for it. Take my word for it, but just take my word like this. Just when next time you got any kind of meeting, right? We got a meeting tomorrow, right? Apostle going to be in Newport News. Now you may not be there in the flesh, but hopefully you'll be there online, right? Amen. Y'all too online. Go in there like you're already blessed. Just go, just turn it on like you already got it. I want you to turn it on with that mindset. Watch where it goes. Listen to me. Now, come on, just listen to me. When y'all go to church next Sunday, go to service, go to the temple, right? Go in there already with it. You know, God is so dimensional that you can receive it and have it at the same time. You can't see the dimension like that. You think, I don't have it. No. You have it and receive it. Same time. So I don't mean you go on and like, oh, no, you can't tell me nothing. No, you can tell you something. But all I'm going to tell you is what you already got.
Yeah.
See, the truth is, I already got it. Say, I already got it. Come on, say it again. Say, I already got it. Come on, say, I already got it. Say, I already am. This is church. This is church. I already am. So because I already am and I've solidified that in my mind, it does not matter what I don't know. You get it? What I don't know does not matter because I already am and I already got it. Now, if somebody's going to tell me something I don't know about me, it doesn't change the fact that I already am and already got it. So how quick would the conversation speed up? Instead of convincing you that you know what I'm saying, you can be blessed. Or convincing you that God loves you. I already got it. Say, I am already. Right? So now my conversation with you speeds you up. Speeds us up. So we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You realize that you are a son of God. And this is what the conversation should be consistently. But I can't even correlate with my gifts until I bring my gifts. Right? You don't put electricity in the water. Don't go together. Huh? In order for, because that's death. That's the other kind of death, right? Right? But for things to match, you have to bring the things that match. You have to hook electrical with electrical. Are you understanding me? You have to bring it together, but if you ever connect, but don't bring something that ain't the thing you're connecting to, because it's going to be a problem. You can't, we can't even connect with our gifts, right? The gifts that God has given to us in men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? The gifts that God has given us, we cannot connect with the gift because we have not brought our gift. So now if you don't have it, the epitome of the word, the essence of the word gift is give. That means something, if I gave you a gift, if you have a gift from me, I gave it to you. It has been given. You understand? But if you don't know that something's already been given to you, you're still trying to get it. So then you become needy. And you become grabby. And you become takers. Lord, bless me. Lay your hands on me. Give me some of that anointing, right? But I am anointed. Say it. Don't mean nobody don't need to lay hands on you. I found out, I was a minister, young dude, and I found out, you know, because I wonder why people lose their legs. And, you know, we don't hear a lot about that, about laying on of hands and people falling like we do in today's church. We don't read a lot about that. You haven't read much about that at all in the Bible, if anything. Right? I said, what is this? I said, Lord, what is this? He said, what's happening is it's not really nothing passing on. Listen to what I'm saying to you. It is the recognition of the oneness of God on the inside of another individual. So now, if I walk in the room and I know more about my oneness with God, I'm confident in my oneness with God, then if I lay hands on you, you may lose your leg because it's another level of power. But it's not that it ain't the power that you have. That power is coming from the inside of you, not my hands. Amen. You get it? It's connection happening. But my understanding of who I am in Christ and who I am as Christ, right, is meeting that same thing that's on the inside of you, but and it's they call it ciphering. We used to have a pump in my uncle's backyard. We used to have one of the big pump with a big tub, and you know the pump you do like that, and you have to hit it like that, and then the pressure would cipher the water up, and you do it for a long time, boy. Like, man, this thing ain't working. I tell my uncle, man, this ain't, y'all tripping, right? He said, no, just keep going, boom, boom, boom. And before you know it, the pressure's built up, and then it begins to flow, and you can't stop it. It ain't like the faucet. And like the faucet where you're like, all right, turn it off. No. That water start flowing, it's going to flow according to the pressure. Okay. Being unto me according to my faith. Remember Jesus said that? Being unto you, your faith. He keeps saying that. You. This is church. You. You got it. No, your faith has made you whole. You believe I can do this? Yeah. Your faith will make you whole. Because I'm doing is ciphering up what you got. So now we're abusing our gifts and our leaders by not coming with it already. Y'all listening to me? We're making the path take too long. The journey from Egypt to the promised land was only 3 days, but it took them 40 years. Because they didn't realize they were the promised land. See, the promised land was where they were. What was bread falling from heaven to feed them? Sounded like the promised land to me. You ain't never had it before, had you? Come on. You wanted something that just fell off in the room. Sound like the promised land to me. The birds dying over there, they hitting the rocks and water coming out. Stuff showing up that ain't even supposed to be. That sounds like a promise to me. I am the promised land. The promise is where I am. But you don't know it'll take you 40 years. A 3-day journey. So these gifts, these ministry gifts were given us for a reason, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying of the body, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge, right, of the Son of God. That means you don't know. That means the knowledge of who you really are got to come to the light. We're going to keep talking about this till you know who you are. You get it? And then when you know who you are, you'll measure up to the stature. You look like Jesus. You look like Christ. In your own way, your Christ ain't got to look like my Christ. Your Christ ain't going to sound like my Christ because I got a different voice. I got a different way I deliver things. But don't judge my Christ. Just you be your Christ. Right? And we don't have to mimic Christ. See, it talks about every joint supplies later on we read. I don't want to go because I ain't got much time. Every joint supplies. The effectual work in the measure of every part. There's every part. Can the eye say to the ear, I don't need it? No. Every part is needed. But it's the effectual working of the measure of every part. But every part got to know that I am. Say, I am.
I am.
Huh? I am the body of Christ. Say it.
I am the body of Christ.
That we henceforth be no more, verse 14, children no more tossed to and fro, no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. All these things and all these messages. All these sermons and all these consecrations and all these all and everything. Y'all know it, right? By the sleight of what? We go back over there in Matthew 16. He said, get behind me, Satan. And he described what Satan is. Because thou savest the thing that be of men and not of God. I mean, you took man's side over. Right? So God's side is inside. Man's side is. Uh-huh. But you're taking outside to define your molestation. You're molesting your own gift. So let them in a cunning craft and will by they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up well. Into him. Okay. So not just grow up into something. You just grow up. No, you grow up into him. And how many things? Which is the head, even Christ. It's talking about whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted there with every joint supplied according to the effectual working. Not just working. But the effectual working of in the measure of every part. That's the word measure again. Make an increase of the what? Body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're going to leave with this tonight. This is the church, and I'm just in chapter and page. I ain't get too far in the book. We just on the first. But we cannot use our meetings as need meetings. You have to come already knowing, I already am. Even if it don't look like it. Huh? Even if it don't feel like it, right? I still am. I'm one with God. Even though it may not feel like it, may not look like it, I may not be experiencing what I think that look like, say it. I'm one with God, right? And then you remind yourself, right? For the next service you come to, to say that before when you walk in, I'm one with God. Don't say it too loud. They're gonna try to crucify you. Some people try to crucify you walking in talking about you one with God because they don't know that conversation. Right? Do yourself a favor and go read John chapter 17. Just read it. Just read it. Just give yourself. Just read it. Read it once a day. It ain't that long. Just start seeing what Jesus, the last prayer Jesus was praying. It's important that was the one he was praying. He said, "I want them to be one." Amen.